All right, what is up, guys? First episode via The Source. My name is Steven Masso. First episode, let me get into a little quick introduction. I'm a student at the University of Texas at Brownsville. That's very southern tip of Texas, along the border of Mexico. I am studying journalism and broadcast. I'm trying to do sports, journalism, broadcast, something like that. I am currently working as a student writer for the university. So I write news articles for them. I'm also a reporter on Stories from Texas on 88.9 FM. So check that out too. That's on Fridays and Saturdays. So this is not my first time behind a microphone. What I'm trying to do here on this podcast specifically, I was debating on at first covering the Miami Dolphins, making this a Miami Dolphins focus type thing, but I follow the entire NFL, and I think it's very important to follow the entire NFL in order to get a good grasp on one team. I hear a lot of people who do podcasts on one specific team. Let's say a trade happens and the team gets a new guy, and then they're like, oh, I need to watch film on this one guy. And I'm just like, how are you barely finding out about this one guy? You know, how can you give us any analysis if you're barely watching film on him, like, the day it happens? You can't do that, at least in my opinion. So what I'm going to be doing, I'm covering the whole NFL, and then maybe towards the end, I'll do, like, a little piece on the Miami Dolphins specifically. So, first things first, let's get straight into the news, the major news. The Browns are apparently the best team in the entire NFL in history. No, I'm just kidding, but the Browns did get pretty good in a matter of 24 hours. They acquired Tyrod Taylor from the Bills. Solid. They got Jarvis Landry from the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, I'm crying inside. And then they got Demaryius Randall from Green Bay. Let's go through each one of these minus the Randall one. I think Randall's a solid corner. And alongside Jamar Taylor, I believe, in Cleveland, they could have a pretty solid, you know, defense there. But nothing too special. Okay, so first things first, Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor is a solid quarterback. He can win you a playoff game, maybe. At best, he can win you a playoff game. I don't think he's going to win you a Super Bowl ever. But he could win you a playoff game. So what I think was going to happen, he's just going to be the transition guy for the Browns. And he's going to have a lot of pressure on him, the same way he did in Buffalo. He's going to have a lot of pressure because the second he has a game where he throws two picks and a fumble, there's a shiny new rookie quarterback on that bench who people are going to be crying to put him in. So Tyrod Taylor's going to have pressure. He's going to be the guy who gets swapped in maybe halfway through the season. I doubt he finishes the whole season. Maybe he will. But he's not going to be the long-term thing. He's kind of getting set up for a one-year stint. And maybe he can go somewhere else. But this might be the end of Tyrod Taylor's career. Or I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little too dramatic. But yeah, he has a year to prove himself. Maybe he can. Maybe I'm being too low on him. I just don't think he does. Okay, next move. Jarvis Landry. I see a lot of hate and a lot of love. I am a Miami Dolphins fan. I watch every game, and I am part of Landry Gang Gang. Very proud member. And the first thing that we must talk about is stop bringing up the yards per catch, the 8 yards per catch. I hear this every single day. If you watched every single game, you realize our quarterback went down. We had Jay Cutler as our quarterback. He had to learn the entire new playbook. Yeah, he had the season with Gase, but whatever. He had to learn the whole new thing. Our offense was so simplified. We were throwing it behind the line of scrimmage like every other play. So basically, Jarvis was a running back getting 8 yards per catch because we were throwing it to him at the line of scrimmage on a bubble screen. Super predictable, the most predictable offense I've ever seen in my entire life. We were completely setting up Jarvis for having a horrible yards per catch. There's no chance he ever had 10 yards per catch in this offense. It was completely horrible. That's not his fault. It's actually a miracle he gained more than 5 on a lot of these catches. So Cleveland getting a super good receiver, I think. And then let's look at how their receiving core is right now. They got a guy named Josh Gordon, who is really good. And he could still be really good, and we all know that. Corey Coleman, who I think may actually come out of this as the best receiver in Cleveland, because that guy is so sneaky good, and his quarterback was so very bad that he could easily be the best receiver on that team. And then Jarvis Landry, who's like such an incredible asset for a young quarterback because you can dump it off, build his confidence. Cleveland has a very legitimate offense. And what do I think they're going to do during the draft? Maybe it's a little too early to be talking about this, but this is what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to take Barkley at number one, get the best running back in, you know, however many years is what they say. They say that every draft, but he looks really good. And then they're going to pick whichever quarterback is left, whether that's Allen, Rosen, or Darnold. So that's a crazy offense. They're going to have Duke Johnson, who was incredible last season on a horrible team. They're going to have potentially Barkley, if my prediction is correct, a good number one quarterback behind Tyrod Taylor, and then all those receivers I mentioned, that's a good enough offense that can win you six games at least, I think. I don't know if they can make a playoff push just yet because the defense has some holes in it, but that's an offense that can win you definitely some games. So I think the bad times in Cleveland are finally coming to an end right now. Now, I said that I'm a Dolphins fan, so we have to talk about this Jarvis trade from the side of the Dolphins. First thing that must be said is it's so sad and frustrating that it got to this point in the first place. Jarvis should have been signed during the offseason for an $11 million contract. They should have pulled that trigger. We ended up getting Jay Cutler. Things happen. Horrible management, I must say that. Very unfortunate that we had to lose a fan favorite due to a money situation. But I'm probably in the few that I think we should have paid Jarvis maybe a little bit over his market value. And people are going to say, well, why? He's a slot receiver, quote unquote. Well, this is a guy who was passionate about the team, a guy that we drafted. And then I don't know who said it, but I think it was Tannenbaum. Maybe it was someone else in management. They said that we take care of our own, which is just mind-blowing to me as a Dolphins fan, because here we are. We let go of Wes Welker. We let go of Sean Smith and Vontae Davis, guys that we both drafted. Olivier Vernon, gone. We just traded Jay Ajayi, gone. We just got rid of Jarvis Landry. Like, what? How is this all happening? That's crazy. We don't take care of our own at all. Like, who even said that? It's basically what Miami's turning into is a spot for veterans who are on big contracts that teams don't want to pay anymore. They come to Miami and they get a few more decent years, but not good enough to make a playoff run. That's what Miami is turning into, and it's really unfortunate because here we had a guy, Jarvis Landry, who cared so much about the sport. And then people will make the argument, but he got a lot of personal fouls. Well, yeah, but if you have an option between a guy like Jay Cutler, who's playing for the money, or some other receiver who's playing for the money, or a guy who's, you know, getting personal fouls because he's playing with so much passion and fire like Jarvis Landry, you take the Jarvis Landry guy every single time, 9 out of 10 times. Because, yeah, he's going to get a personal foul or two, but that's really blown up. It was way, way out of proportion. It was not that much of a detriment to the team. So it's just really unfortunate because that's what they teach you about football, that you show passion, you play with fire, and even the smallest guy, if he's playing with enough fire, he can do it. So it's just really painful to see a player like that go, especially one that we drafted, one that the fans love so much, and he played so much better than everyone expected him to. It was just an incredible thing. So, but it is a business. There are some replacements, and that brings me to my next note, that I am doing a film study. I'm looking at every single target for Devontae Parker during the season, because I was a guy who believed so much in Devontae. I thought he was going to be the next AJ Green. I thought he was crazy. And I'm doing this film study. I'm about halfway through. I'm not going to give away the whole thing, but as of right now, it is not looking that good. And it's really unfortunate, especially on top of the fact that we just lost Landry. We're definitely, definitely at least going to have to get some type of receiver. There's some free agents. Allen Robinson, probably the best one in my mind. Allen Robinson's the top. We don't have enough money for that, at least right now. But there's some other options. Paul Richardson, freak. That guy's a really good asset. Also kind of expensive though, so we're gonna have to see where we go. And then the last topic of the day, there's some rumors that came out on Twitter, and we all know that rumors are 100,000% true every single time, so we got to address it right now. I know, but the rumor is that Ryan Tannehill is possibly gonna get traded, which is crazy to me. I am, you know, I'm somewhat of a believer. I'm not full in on Ryan Tannehill, but I also think that he could potentially be really good. So I don't think he gets traded. I see us taking the exact same approach as Kansas City Chiefs last year with Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith. And what that means is we're going to take a quarterback in the first round. Who am I thinking? I'm thinking Baker Mayfield. But we're basically putting Tannehill in a position where it's, if you don't have a tremendous season, I mean tremendous, tremendous season, like if you don't put up numbers and win two playoff games, then you're gone. Unfortunately, I think that's what's going to happen because we've had him around so long and he hasn't produced well enough to the point where I think we can keep him around that long. And Alex Smith had a really good year, at least at the beginning of the season. The first half, he was killing it. And then look what happened to him. Now he's gone. And I think that's the same thing that could happen to Tannehill, especially if we draft a young guy. So I'd say keep an eye on that. I think we take a quarterback round one. I'll dive more into this like a little special draft segment. So if you like this, subscribe. Again, you can follow me at Shady Steven on everything. Shady Steven on Twitter, Shady Steven on Instagram. So again, first episode. Hope it went well. Hope everyone liked it. I'll catch you guys later.